Blog Talk Radio.
Phoenix, Arizona, but from that C-town, Cleveland, Ohio. My co-host, T-Row, from Dallas, Texas. And my other co-host, as usual, Juelz the G. Man, what's up to the world? What's up, T-Row? Juelz the G. What's going on out there?
L Boogie Down Productions. What's going on with you, baby?
Oh, man, it's a live show tonight, man. Everybody got their thumbs twiddling, wondering what's going on, what's going to happen. You know, Thursday with that NBA draft, you know, we got some snitches in the street that been hollering at us. You know what I mean? We got some things that's happening in the NBA. Your boy, Aaron Hernandez. That's your man. Man, Adrian, a problem. Browner. Man, we got a lot of things on the marquee tonight, bro, man. How you doing, first of all, man? Happy Monday, man.
Oh, you know what it is, man. Back at you, brother love. You know what I mean? Can't wait to get Juelz back on the line, too, this evening. And you know, man, it's a fine Monday evening for myself. No more basketball for the rest of this here summer, you know what I mean? So I got to look forward to a couple of baseball and, you know, hopefully this hockey game will be exciting as the NBA finals were. So you know, I'm just looking forward to checking out the other sports to see what's really going on. Had an opportunity to check out the track and field over the weekend. You know, those guys getting ready to go over to Russia for the summer and get it in the World Championship. So Yeah, you know, it was real good to see something other than basketball for a while, because I did put all the other sports on the back burner for a minute, you know, as I was watching the NBA come to an end. So, you know, but I can't knock it. You know, the NBA gave us a game 7. Thank you, David Stern. And now we're getting ready to look forward to this NBA draft that we got coming up on Thursday. And, you know, I'm going to dig your brain in tonight, L Boogie. We're going to see what you got and who you think going to go where. And we'll see what we got going on for this draft that's coming up Thursday.
No question. And, you know, every show we always got a question of the night. So my question of the night to you and Jewels, the G, and the callers, you know, it was really on my mind. We're going to go, you know, if you got, you know, credibility in the streets and guys should have, we're going to go from 1993 till present. What was the best draft class? From 1993 to 2013, what was your best class from first round to second round? That's the question of the night. So call us when you call in, give us your overtake, and what do you think, maybe what your team may need or who you think your team may pick, where they are in the draft. Some teams have 2 picks in the first round. You know, we're going to, you know, especially talk about this, the 1 through 14, which is the lottery. So, you know, it's a lot of things. So, T-Row, can I ask you a question?
What's the deal, Pippen?
If you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, you're the general manager, you're the owner, you might have a little, you know, something to do, you're the coach. What do you do with the number 1 pick? Do you trade it? You know, or who do you draft? Number 1, let me ask you, you know, if you were to draft, who would it be? You have needs. They need forwards. I mean, they have some guard play, but really no backup for Kyrie. But what would you do with that first round pick if you were to draft? Let me pose that question first.
Well, you know, first of all, what I'm going to say is good luck to you, Cleveland. You got a tough job on your hands, and now the time is really ticking. It's getting down to the nitty-gritty. And on Thursday, you know, I hope that everything that you've been thinking of since you've gotten the lottery ball to bounce your way, I hope that this is the time that, you know, you would know exactly what you're going to do. Now, for me, if I were Cleveland, honestly, L Boogie, if I was Cleveland, this is what I would do. Don't get me wrong. I like Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is a big piece to Cleveland, but shaky at times. You know, we don't want to put him in the B.O.B. class just yet, the bag of bones class, but we do know that his past has showed us that injuries have plagued him before. And so if you're going to be trying to help your team get better as far as, you know, having a guard who can not only penetrate and create shots for others but also create shots for himself, you know, it only makes sense that you go out to either get a point guard or a shooting guard who has the capabilities to be turned into a nice little point guard, because we know that Kyrie Irving is not going to play a full season. And without him playing a full season, it's going to take the draft, or it's going to take somebody from the free agent market for you to have that guy on your team to help as much as possible. So if it was me, this would be my, you know, pick just by looking at the draft and looking at all the players that are actually in the draft this year. I would go with one of two guys. I would either go with the shooting guard, Ben McLemore, out of Kansas, or I would go with the point guard, Trey Burke, from Michigan. That's just my pick. That's what I would do. I've been hearing a lot about trading, you know, the number 1 pick to go out and get somebody out there that's capable of helping you down low. But for me, you know, I think that you still have time to go out and get a big guy. It may not be a five-star or a four-star big man, but, you know, at least, you know, Varejao is coming back and he's going to give you everything he has. But then, you know, you need somebody to match his intensity and his hustle because he's going to rebound, you know, and he's going to give you more than what you ask him to give. So that's the best thing about Varejao. So if it were me, just my personal pick, I honestly would pick, like I said, a Ben McLemore. I think you can turn him into a guard, an actual point guard that can shoot. He's a real good shooter. Or I would go get Trey Burke, who already possesses all of those talents in one. Yeah, he's not that big, but at least you get the same type of style that you're working with right now in Kyrie Irving, someone who can score, somebody who can penetrate, somebody who can create to make his team better. And so I would think that that would be the way to go. But, you know, I'm not in Cleveland. I'm not one of the executives or let those guys know what's up. So we'll see what happens. You know, good luck, Cleveland. I know it's a tough job having the number one pick. But, you know, when it's your time, I hope you're ready, and I hope you do something good with it because Cleveland is a team that is still in a rebuilding mode since LeBron has left. So the last 3 years have not been good. So you really need to go in a direction that will help you guys go up and, you know, hopefully make the playoffs next year.
Okay. Can I put my general manager hat on? I always wanted to be a GM. So if I'm the general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers, I'm on the clock and I'm thinking, I'm in my big office. And I'm looking over Castle Grayskull, which we call Cleveland, Ohio. I'm looking over the lake, bro. And I'm looking, and I'm saying, who should I pick? If I was to pick the number one player coming out, like I said Friday, me, two players I might pick. Anthony Bennett from UNLV, he's a hybrid. He can play three. He can play four. And he has a little pit bull in him. And if I was to go guard, I just think he has a pro game and he can get to that cup and he's kind of tall. He's about 6'6". I have to go, and I can be a little biased, Michael Carter Williams. Is he worthy of the number one pick? I don't know if you're looking for, you know, one of those point guards. I mean, you have a lot out there that they say are great. Trey Burke, 6 feet. I just don't believe in him. I look at him and I see another Kemba. And there's nothing wrong with Kemba. Let's not get it twisted. He's doing okay. But if you're slating Trey Burke maybe to be the number one pick, I wouldn't pick him. I'm scared. Is he top five? I'm not a big believer in Trey Burke. A lot of people in the street are really, you know, on me about that. But, hey, those are the two guys that I would pick. Michael Carter Williams, if I want to go guard, he's kind of tall. He can defend. He's kind of big. You know, he can play a little bit of that three. They can go three guard with, you know, Deion Waiters, Irving, and Williams out there. So, and if I was to trade, I got snitches in the street, bro, and they telling me. Right now, let's not forget, Anderson Varejao, he's in his last year of his contract. I might want to package my number one pick in Anderson Varejao for a big guy. Because let's not forget, Zeller did not do well. Tristan Thompson, he did well because of, hey, anytime Kyrie Irving misses, you're just, you know, you're getting 10 and 10 off of that. So, you know, that's my point. I think that they should do that. I'm getting, you know, a lot of words that right now, these are the three guys that they're thinking about. Noel's from Kentucky. The Alex Lynn, the 7-footer kid from Maryland, and Ben McLemore. Those are the three guys that they're on, that they're thinking about getting. The other two guys, which are dark horses, is Otto Porter and Anthony Bennett. That's the streets is talking in Cleveland, Ohio, from the front office. That's what I'm getting right now. What do you think about that, Ro? Those three guys, do you think they, you know, this Alex Lynn kid from Maryland, he didn't even make first team all ACC. He didn't even make second team all ACC. But he's valid to be the number one pick.
Yeah, another Kwame Brown situation, if you ask me. No disrespect to Alex Lynn, but like you mentioned, no credentials whatsoever. Just a big 7-footer. But then again, you know, when you get down to the NBA combine and, you know, you're working with these specialists that work with the big men, you know, they tend to do some things that are a little bit different than what you were being coached in college. And so if you can somehow manage to impress those guys that are there, that are working you out in between the times, then it's very easy for your stock to rise because you're already doing it in front of guys who can make your stock rise by just saying that, you know, you're this or you're that. So I believe that, you know, by Alex Lynn showing up to the combine, working out, doing the best that he could, and showing that he could manage with some of the other talents that's out there right now, that he just might be able to play this game. But for him to be a number one pick, you know, if that's the case, you know, you can look at it as a Kwame Brown situation. That's how I'm going to look at it because I really don't know this guy. Didn't know much about Kwame neither until Michael Jordan decided to give this guy the number one overall pick. So, you know, I don't know much about Alex Lynn. I do know that he played at Maryland, watched a couple of games when they played against North Carolina and Duke. Really didn't impress me. I mean, he stood out because of his size. But other than that, it wasn't too much to cheer about. But like I mentioned earlier, at the combine, there are coaches who know how to do their thing. And so if they are impressed by seeing what they saw, you know, at this combine, it just may be something that, you know, we didn't get to see during the regular season. So it might be a good thing for Alex Lynn, for him to have done what he's done, to put itself in a great position to maybe be the number one pick of the 2013 draft.
You know how I feel about guys playing against air. Anybody can do well when there's not 28,000 people screaming and there's $1 million on the line. What did he do in the ACC tournament? What did he do the whole year? Remember, against Miami, what did he do? I can pull up his stats right now. He had one good game against Plumlee from Duke. Did he control the paint against the big man against Miami? No, and he's projected to go hot. So, I don't understand it. Another Michael Oliver Candy. And Kwame Brown, we know why he was picked. He looks like Michael Jordan. Let's connect the dots. The streets is talking. Mondays and Fridays, 9 p.m., 347-855-8896. And don't forget, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a girlfriend. Ro, I'm going to give you the first 14. I'm going to give you the mock draft that these guys, you know, my man Chad Ford from ESPN, give you the order, and I'm going to tell you who they have going first, second, third, and that so forth. Listeners, you know, if your team is picking, let us know who you think they should get, what are their needs and things like that. And, Ro, just give me a synopsis of where these guys are going and, you know, should they be higher or lower. But, you know, number one, you have Alex Lynn, center, going to Cleveland. Number two, you got Ben McLemore going to Orlando. You got Nerlens Noel, the center, going to Washington Wizards. You have the Bobcats coming in at four, picking up Victor Oladipo from Indiana. Then you have what they say out here in Phoenix, They're going to get another point guard in Trey Burke at number 5. Then you have New Orleans with the 6th pick, picking Anthony Bennett, a forward from UNLV. You have Sacramento going 7. They're picking Otto Porter, forward from Georgetown. Detroit, C.J. McCullough, guard, Lehigh. I think that's a sleeper guy. At number 9, you have Minnesota. They're picking up Shabazz Muhammad, forward from UCLA. Portland, they have the 10th pick. They're going to get Steven Adams. He's a center. You have Philadelphia at 11. They're projecting Cody Zeller from Indiana, center. OKC, they're picking number 12. They're going to get a point guard from Greece, Giannis Akhetoundo. And Dallas, your team role, coming in at 13, they're picking Shane Larkins from Miami. And 14, Utah, they're picking Michael Carter Williams from the Syracuse. That's your lottery. That's what the streets are saying. That's the mock for first 14 picks in the 2013 draft. Right now, it can change, but I just got that from my snitch about 5 minutes ago before we got on the air.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Hey, that's not bad. You know, some of these dudes are going to actually, it's going to be a surprising draft, to be honest with you, from my little snitch that I got out there in the street getting ready for the draft. It's a little bit different than that. And, you know, starting with the 14th pick that Utah is going to get, my snitches show me that Utah has interest in the guard from Germany in Dennis Schroeder. And then for 13, instead of Shane Larkin for the Mavericks, he's showing me Shabazz Muhammad, the shooting guard out of UCLA. And then for number 12, Oklahoma City Thunder, looks like they're going to be drafting the center, Steven Adams, who's a big talent out of Pittsburgh. 11 is about the same with Cody Zeller going to the Philadelphia 76ers. Number 10, got the shooting guard out of Georgia going to Portland, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Hopefully he'll be able to do some things out there. And then that guy, C.J. McCullough, the sleeper out of Lehigh, you know, backing up Ricky Rubio out there in Minnesota. Trey Burke may be drafted at number 8 going to Detroit. Michael Carter Williams, Michael Carter Williams going pretty high, going to Syracuse. Michael Carter Williams out of Syracuse going to Sacramento, who has that 7th pick. The 6th pick is the New Orleans the Pelicans. And my snitch is showing that Victor Oladipo will get selected to the Pelicans. Anthony Bennett will show up with the Phoenix Suns as the 5th pick. But now this is where it gets tricky, because my snitch is showing that Alex Lynn is going to drop to the 4th pick down to the Charlotte Bobcats to help that piece down low. The Washington, D.C., Otto Porter from Georgetown may be the 3rd pick. The number 2 pick is going to be Ben McLemore, and the number 1, Noel, going to Cleveland if they don't make the trade. So that's what my snitch I have for my snitch. You know, and it's all somewhat the same, but a little bit different. You know what I mean? So we'll see what happens on Thursday when it actually goes down. You know what I mean?
Out of those 14 guys, bro, I know you're real high on your guys, the Dallas Mavericks. You know, what do you think you guys need? You need a point guard. You need a wing. You need a big man.
Man, we need a whole lot. You know, we got rid of a lot of pieces last summer. I believe Mark Cuban is trying to save some money and throw it all out at one or two $1 million pieces or $100 million pieces. But I don't know, man. Mark Cuban is on that same level as Jerry Jones, man. You really don't get to get the inside information on anything. You just have to wait until it's all said and done and then just live with what you got. You know what I mean? So I don't know what Dallas is going to do. They're going to have to spend millions, though.
Man, to all the draft picks, I dedicate this song to you because you might went from zero to having millions in the ceiling. Then when we come back, we're going to discuss this question of the night, and we're going to get to some callers. And I got one more thing if I was the general manager of the Cavs. The Streets is Talking Sports Talk Show. El Boogie, Joel, the GT Row. Let's go.
I restore the feeling of when niggas made a killing. Hiding choppers in the closet, half a million in the ceiling. And them hoes with angel faces crying loud with ill intentions. Just so I can buy them Christians, have them shit on all they bitches. Millions, millions in the ceiling. 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 Choppers in the closet. Choppers in the closet. Choppers in the closet. Choppers in the closet. Millions, millions.
I'm haunted by horror stories, wanna be homeowners. Horrible outcome, a dope boy got one motive. Cries when he convicted, cried on every visit. I'm crying saying his name. Ride for all my niggas. Used to fiddle my finger till I found me a fortune. Finger fuck a Ferrari, time for friends early morning. Get drugs with Donatella, Versace, my acapella. Never see me in Neiman. Niggas committing treason. Soft loafer preferred, frost organic herb. Stay away from the vultures. If I only could tell you more. I got this, I got that. I got that, I got this. Got a kilo for 20, my chopper say I'm the shit.
Millions, millions in the ceiling. 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 Shoppers in the closet. Shoppers in the closet. Shoppers in the closet. Shoppers in the closet. Millions, millions in the ceiling. 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 Shoppers in the closet. Shoppers in the closet. Shoppers in the closet. Shoppers in the closet. This that shit y'all ask for. Make a nigga mash on the gas flow. Two door, four door. Roll through the hood like Task Force. Fast forward. They say they wanna see proof. My record sales ain't much of theirs, and we still ride the same coupes. How we still fuck the same hoes? Why we still buy the same clothes? How we both got the same watch? I'm just keeping y'all on your toes. Dope boy, gold mine. That price dropping, that coke rise, and set it over that blue flame, then hang dry like clothesline. I restore the feeling of when niggas made a killing. Hiding choppers in the closet, half a million in the ceiling. Got the razor on the counter, arm and hammer in the kitchen, just to keep my feet in Christians and keep fucking all y'all bitches.
Millions, millions in the ceiling. 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 Millions, millions in the ceiling.
Shoppers in the closet. Shoppers in the closet. Shoppers in the closet. Shoppers in the closet.
Millions, millions in the ceiling. Millions, millions in the ceiling. Millions, millions in the ceiling. Millions, millions in the ceiling.
Shoppers in the closet. Shoppers in the closet. Shoppers in the closet. Shoppers in the closet. This that shit that y'all want. This shit sound like God, don't it? This that shit that y'all want it. This shit sound like God, don't it? This that shit that y'all want it. This shit sound like God, don't it? This that shit that y'all want it.
We back. This your boy, L.
Boogie,
coming to you live. The Streets is Talking. Sports talk show with a twist of hip hop. We were just talking about the, you know, the draft that's coming up this Thursday at the Barclay Arena, Brooklyn, New York. Stand up. So, you know, all the callers, when you call in, you know, give your input. Who you think a sleeper, who you think is going to do well, your rookie of the year. And we're going to ask you the question of the night. From 1993 to 2012, which was the best draft class in your opinion? Not individual, but draft class, round one and round two, meaning guys who did well. I can give you a couple, but were they better than others? You know, so that's the question of the night. We got a lot of other things to talk about as well. Aaron Hernandez, update on that. My man Adrian, a problem Broner from Cincinnati, Ohio. Ohio, stand up.
Yeah.
Man.
You got your young talent down there in Adrian, the problem Broner, huh?
Man, I ain't got no worries. I ain't got no worries.
Yeah, what do you say? It's hard enough to come to your city and beat you in the fight, but win the fight and take your girl?
The streets is tough. He goes to Brooklyn in his hometown, in his borough, takes his girl and tell Pops, brush my ways, Pop.
Paulie Malignaggi, what happened?
And then you hear Paulie, knowing he's from the mob, he's Italian, you hear the name Paulie, it's so many Paulies. After the fight, complain about how it should have been closer than what it was. Yeah, I shouldn't have lost, but he thought it should have been close. Did you hear the question that Jim Gray asked him? And you know Jim Gray is very good at sucking you in.
Right.
And making you look stupid. He's almost worse than Larry on HBO.
Larry Merchant.
So he asked Paulie, hey, Paulie, so you mean to tell me that you think the fight was fixed? Paulie had to regurgitate. He had to take it back. He had to go back and say, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it should have been closer. You lost, Paulie!
And you lost your girl.
If AB wasn't playing around with you, it should have been a unanimous decision.
Yeah, I thought it was an entertaining fight, to say the least. You know, Paulie just, he was just hitting everything from the neck to the waistline. He really wasn't trying to go after the Broner's head. And so you can see Broner talking to him the whole night, like, you can't hit me. What are you doing? You know, so it really, I don't understand how Malignaggi was even upset that the fight was over or that he lost. You know, it is what it is. One judge saw it. Different than the other judges. So, I mean, it is what it is. You lost, take the loss, but don't get embarrassed by, you know, saying that was my dime piece. That was my dime piece.
Right, that was my side piece right there. That was my side piece. Man, you shouldn't have said nothing. If it was your side piece, you should have just let it roll. I thought you was from the Brook, man.
Right. Yeah, man, he messed up with that one. But, you know, he did take the better punishment out of the two. You know what I'm saying? He threw a lot of punches, but he threw a lot of punches that didn't mean too much. Yeah, it would have counted on the, you know, as a punch, but it doesn't count on the scoreboard, man. You know, when you get lumped up and after the fight, you the one that's all pink and red and lumped up. Yeah, you know what it is. There's not too many times that the guy who's still pretty in the ring loses, even if it is a decision.
I only saw a couple guys do that, and their names, you know, start with Sugar. That's like Big Sugar Ray Leonard. He might be the only guy that lost a fight and still looked pretty afterwards. And Muhammad Ali.
Yeah,
so,
man.
You know, he forgot the golden rule. I thought Biggie Small said it. And he's from, he said, ain't no shook hands in Brooklyn. Army fatigue.
You know?
And he, man, so he didn't get the memo.
He forgot the memo. He didn't get that elbow.
No, he didn't get that. I thought he was from the Brooklyn, you know, and with, you know, with Bonner's, you know, mentor sitting in, you know, ringside, you know, Floyd Money Mayweather, that was just more inspiration. And, you know, we've discussed this before, you know, and we were talking about this, you know, as we were watching the fight, you know, bro, how he wants to be like Floyd so bad, he might be going overboard, you think?
No, that boy just got good defense. That's what good defense look like. When you can't hit a dude and you right in front of this guy and you can't hit him, that's just called good defense. It's the things that he can work on. You know, he jumped up 2 weight classes to fight Malinagi. And so, you know, big up there for even doing that. And now I believe that, you know, he is just showing you what is yet to come. You know, you got to fight all these big names to make your legacy, just like your boy Floyd, like Pretty Boy has done. And, you know, it's going to be his time real soon. You know, and if you don't like Floyd, Money Mayweather, guess what? You really not going to like Adrian the Problem Broner, because this boy is cocky above cocky. You know what I mean? And it's just going to be amazing to see what happens.
Wow. He is a problem.
And he undefeated, too.
Do you think that he can, you know, put on some weight and maybe, you know, before Floyd, you know, gets out of here, can he, will they set up the fight, Floyd against his protege? Does he have enough time? Or do you think time will run out and Floyd will retire before he gets a chance?
Hell, Boogie. Come on, man. You know what that is. Time going to run out. He not going to fight his protege. He going to leave undefeated. He going to pass the torch on to the youngster, and he going to hope that the youngster can be the next, you know, young talent to be undefeated through his whole career. You know what I mean? This guy's pretty talented, man. And like I said, his defense, he really showed me something with his defense. I didn't think his defense was that tight, but, you know, it could have been the opponent, but we'll see what happens in his next fight. Like he said at the end of the fight, you know, it's not about y'all think I'm not fighting anybody. Well, you pick the fight who you want me to fight, and I'll fight them. But, you know, it's not going to be Floyd. It may be Pacquiao. It may be Tim Bradley Jr. It may be Juan Manuel Marquez. You know, it could be one of those big names that's in that 147 class, but we'll see. We saw that he could knock Paulie out, you know, coming up to the 2-weight classes. He's a nice, buff, in-shape looking dude. But, you know, when you move up in those weight classes, your power kind of, it really doesn't, you really don't hit that hard when you're moving up in weight. And so, you know, there were a lot of times I thought in the fight Saturday that he had a chance to knock Paulie ass out. But he let Paulie get off the hook. You know what I mean? And Paulie throwing the 9-10 punch combinations, which, like I said earlier, were from the neck to the waistline, really didn't mean nothing. You know, so he did what he had to do. He hit Paulie with some good shots, had Paulie looking like it was, you know, more than what it was. But, you know, we'll see what his power looks like in the next fight. Hopefully he can, you know, get, I don't know. It's just like Floyd. When Floyd was, you know, making it look so easy, knocking all the opponents out, when he started moving up in weight, he's really not knocking them out like he was. You know, if it's there, it's there. But coming up to 1-2 weight classes is a big deal. And, you know, it'll be a time where he'll catch somebody slipping. Paulie had a good game plan. He didn't slip, I tell you that.
I ain't worried about that. I worry about that. Man.
Yeah, that boy, he going to be pretty good. But he won't fight Floyd. He will not fight Floyd. Who you think he might fight next?
Honestly, I really would love to see him fight Tim Bradley. Reason being, Bradley has a lot of offense. He's quick. And I want to see if, you know, Bonner is that same. So, you know, I think Pauly was a little intimidated to me. Just from what I saw, and he saw early, he could not win. He threw his best shots, and then he started playing pity-pat like they was out in the yard. Patty-cake, Baker's man. That's how Pauly started to box, just to try to get points, because he knew he couldn't do nothing. So I'm looking to see him. I want to see him go up against somebody like that, you know, your Tim Bradley, and we'll see. But that's who I'm voting for. If they had us on Showtime and we can vote, like how he said, you know, we'll see if he's going to, you know, Pop's going to brush them ways after the fight.
Yeah, brush my ways, Pop.
That was cold. He repping Ohio, though. I got to give it to you. Big up. You know, as we giving big ups, man, I got to give a big up, man, to my man. You know, they used to bar with us. My man Anthony Kyle down in the Maricopa County, in the streets of Maricopa County. To my man Dana Pope, man. You know what I mean? Out down there in Evansville, that's where he's from, man. You know what I mean? So big up to those guys. Just wanted to give a shout out to them, man. So, you know, as we continue, we're giving shout outs, you know. So, and listen to this, bro.
What you got?
If I was, you know, I'm going back to the, you know, I know we're jumping back and forth, but, you know, that's what we do. If I'm the Cavs, guess what? Can I package the first round draft pick, Anderson Varejao, to Sacramento for Tariq Evans and DeMarcus Cousins?
Now, see, if they were to go out and do that, that means that rebuilding would be done. You get the two cats like that to go along with Kyrie, you got your own big three. And let me tell you something about that boy DeMarcus Cousins. Yes, he may be a head case, but I think he's only a head case when he's trying to get out, to go and do pursue other things.
Ventures.
You know what I mean? And I think that this guy, if he can somehow, some way get out of Sacramento and go to Cleveland, and they also have Tyreek, you guys just might put yourselves in a great position to make the playoffs. And I ain't talking 6th, 7th, or 8th seed. I'm talking about actually doing something that just might do something big.
Let me be the general manager of the Cavs. You can take that. And you can have my number 19th pick. I give you Anderson Varejao, the number one pick and the number 19th pick for Tyreek Evans. Excuse me, Tariq Evans and DeMarcus Cousins. Man, when we come back, we're gonna have some callers weighing in. And Ro, when we come back, you got to give me your answer for the question of the night. Who's your top NBA class since 1993? Who's your top NBA class, Ro? We get to this draft Thursday. The streets is talking. L Boogie, T Rose, UL the G. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Tell a girlfriend.
I'm riding around my side of town. Boxing gloves, I beat the trial. I had the coke, I had a smile, and I had a coat for every style. Crocodile, the gator type. I'm allergic to the hater type. I take your wife, give her back. 9 months after that, similar to saying mama's baby, daddy, maybe. When we had sex, I was in a Mercedes. And I ain't crazy. But if that's my baby, then we gonna have to name the little baby Mercedes. The money that I'm making on see you like I'm blind. I'd rather spend money, baby, I don't spend time. My pockets on full, and so is my gas tank. And all my cars got gas in the ashtray.
I'm riding around, I'm getting it. I'm riding around, I'm getting it. I'm riding around, I'm getting it. It's mine, I spend it. I'm riding around, I'm getting it. I'm riding around, I'm getting it. I'm riding around, I'm getting it. It's mine, I spend 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 it. I'm riding around, I'm getting it. It's mine, I spend it. It's mine, I spend it. It's mine, I spend it. I'm riding around, I'm getting it.
Photo ready, my polo out there cleaners. I'm the perfect definition of something you never seen. Maserati Kawasaki bought my girl a Beamer. The jewelry I got on is matching with the tequila. Patron margaritas, double for my divas. I bring all my guns to work, Gil but arenas. Plus I'm killing features and I'm killing shows. I should have sex in a coffin cause I'm killing these hoes. Yeah, my entourage is bucking. Oh,
I'm riding around, I'm getting it. I'm riding around, I'm getting it. I'm riding around, I'm getting it. It's mine, I spend it. I'm riding around, I'm getting it. I'm riding around, I'm getting it. I'm riding around, I'm getting it. It's mine, I spend 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 it. I'm riding around, I'm getting it. It's mine, I spend it. It's mine, I spend it. It's mine. I'm riding around, I'm getting it.
What's up? With the world? This your boy T. Rowe and your boy ULG, your boy L. Boogie, going down on this Monday, June 23rd. Good evening to the world. L. Boogie, I got to give a special shout out to my boys, Boo Boo Merch. You know what I'm saying? Little Boo-Boos, what's up with you? That's the son of Kevin Merce, one of my homies from Grand Canyon University. I know they're checking the show out. So big ups to my little dude, Boo-Boo. He's going to be the future in that soccer thing, you hear me? He might be the first one to, man, the first 13, 14-year-old make it big, L. Boogie. You know, we hope for all that good stuff. But that's what it is. Get back to the show. You know what I mean? Oh, man. Uh-oh, L. Boogie. I see we got somebody on the line, man. We've been waiting to talk to this dude for a long time. You know what I mean? We put out the Amber Alert on this dude because we ain't talked to this dude in so long. You know what I mean? So once we put in the Amber Alert, we finally caught up with it, and it was good to finally catch our guy. You know what I mean? And he said he was gonna call it. I be man, look at here. He done called to you now, Boogie. So we're going to throw this dude on the line real quick before we jump into anything else. Jay the Pope.
What's up, man?
What's up with a pimp? How you doing, Pippin?
Chill, man. How y'all doing?
Man, let me tell you a story, man. Me and the host, L. Boogie, about 2 years ago, man, we've been putting out a search to try to locate you, man, and we couldn't find you for nothing. You hear me? Out of all the people to try to find, you would be one of the toughest guys to find, come to find out. You know what I mean? And here we are, some 10, 12 years later, and then finally caught up with the superstar, at least the superstar when I was playing at Grand Canyon University, Mr. Data Paul. What it is, Pippin?
Oh, nothing, man. Doing good, man. Down here in Evansville, Indiana.
Oh, you repping Indiana down there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's it like being down there in Indiana, man?
Oh, it's the same old, same old. Slow motion. It's starting to try to grow a little bit. I mean, it's getting a little bigger than before when I was growing up here.
No doubt, when I left here it was only about 80,000, back in the early 90s. That's what's up. Now I know you're a big hoop fan and I know you follow basketball to the fullest. Were you surprised or were you happy that Miami won the title, or were you going for Santa Antonio? Oh no, I was from Miami all the way. You think they're going three-peat?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're gonna add a big man, and they're gonna make it happen.
Well, let me ask you this, folks. Let me ask you this. Now you're down in Indiana.
And I know you know you're a big Indiana Hoosier fan. You know you're friends with Calvin Chaney's assistant coach at Indiana, and I know you communicate with him. Can you give us some insight about the kid Victor Oladipo? Do you think that he's worthy of being that lottery pick?
Oh yeah, he's definitely worthy of being that lottery pick. He's 6'4", 6'5" guard, play hard, very athletic, strong. One thing he really need to work on is his shot and his handles a little bit, but he's definitely going to be he's definitely worthy of a number two pick.
Okay. Now, Indiana Pacers, they're on the clock. They're picking number 23. What are their needs, Paul? What you think they need right now, the Pacers?
Okay.
Going up against the likes of the Miami, Heat and the Chicago Bulls, what do you think they need to get over that hump?
They really need to get Nerlens Noel, but he's gonna go number one. So I'm not sure who other big cats is out there that they can have at that number four spot, because David West needs to move to the three. He don't need to stay at the four.
He needs to move out to the three.
Yeah, he don't need to be at the four. If they can find somebody big enough, they can bring in there to get it at the four and move their rest to the three, then they'll probably get Miami. They'll get Miami a tough time.
Now, if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers general manager, and you're on the clock, you have the number one pick. Two questions for you: if you draft, who do you pick? And if you want to do a trade, who do you go after?
I would pick Nerlens Noel at number one. But if I wanted to do a trade, I would go after Michael Carter Williams.
Okay. Why do you like Noel so much? I mean, he got hurt. When you think of Noel, don't you think of Greg Oden, though? I mean, you think of a bag of bones, don't you, Sam Bowie? I mean, doesn't that bring that to your vision?
He's nothing like Greg Oden. His upside is too. It's way much stronger. He has real good defensive potential. He's been working on his game all summer now. He's gonna come back real strong.
So you
I was just up there checking him out a couple weeks ago working out. He's looking real good.
So you heard it here first. Dana Post says that Noel is going to be a star in the NBA. You heard it here first.
He's unbeat up. He's gonna get bigger. He's gonna add on about 20 pounds more of muscle. He's gonna be ready.
But I think he's gonna take as long as Tyson Chandler took to gain some weight, man. He'll be coming in about 10 years.
Yeah.
For those
that
don't know, that's 2LZG checking in. All day long, real boogie.
Fresh off my heart. You know what I mean? It's been a struggle, but that's what we do.
Joel to G, what the deal, baby?
I know. What's happening?
Oh man, I was just out in the land, man. Doing what I had to do, man, to receive my blessings.
Man, community service at its best, everybody. Man, Joel to G, he picked a great day to come back inside the asylum. Oh, man, he got parole, but he violated. Now he's back in the asylum with us. We didn't suck him back in. So, it's great to have Joel's back and Dana Pope on the line. Oh, man, it's hot tonight.
Whoa.
On a Monday.
Yeah.
On a Monday.
What's happening, baby?
Oh, nothing, man. How you doing?
Oh, man, you know, just hanging in there, man. Damn blessed, man, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Yeah, so, buddy. Hey, Dana Poe, tell me something, man. Why won't LeBron get in the slam dunk contest? Because I know you still a high fly. Give me the reason why LeBron won't get it in the All-Star slam dunk competition, man.
I think it's too late now. He's not accomplished too much to jump in that and end up losing to someone, to some no-name that came into the league for the first year. Making him a name. He ain't going to make a name for nobody else. They're going to have to make their own. And for him
He only got two dunks.
No, he got more than that. He just don't. You should see the highlight film he be doing in warm ups before the game starts. He got more than that.
Yeah.
I feel you.
But he just, man, I don't know why people have to bribe him money for him to get in the slam dunk competition when he the league. If you that big of the league, if you the shield, so to speak, now, why won't you just give the people what they want? We only want one slam dunk competition. That's all we want.
Yeah, but you got to figure, you got to see Michael Jordan's the best ever played, and he didn't get into it. He got into it early. He got into it, you know, third or fourth year in the league. LeBron been in the league 10 years now. He's not waited too long to get into it. He's made himself too big. Michael Jordan was becoming big, but he was still trying to prove himself.
Okay, but what about the early years that he turned it down before he got big?
I just think he probably was. I don't think he really probably had too much to offer then. He didn't have the confidence that he has now.
Okay.
I think that he didn't want to get into it, and you know he was so hyped and celebrated coming out of high school. You know, you don't want to jump into something. You know, all it takes is for a cat that only just knows how to jump to get in that and win that competition.
Hey, Pope, if you don't know nothing else, you know me, man. I come straight up from the guts, man. I think we're making a lot of excuses for this brother. And I think he should have stepped up and did what he was supposed to do for the league. You know what I mean? People buying his tickets, shoes, jerseys. He got to show his appreciation back to the people that signed his paycheck, man.
Right.
Yeah, that's true too. But he's not gonna put himself online and do that now. I mean, he's on one of his second title too. He's not gonna do that.
I agree 100% with you now, like things were on the lines of somebody else getting the name off of him. And I believe it is too late now, but
early on.
We got
his
8 years.
Second, third year, I think he should have got into it.
Right.
I don't think he should have, should have let it go on his phone. He should have just got into it his first, second, maybe even his fourth year and got it over with.
Get it over with. Hey, man, I think, we about to have a reunion. This is the first time we're going to do this, but we're going to pull another caller on because he keeps texting me talking about putting him on. And it's another big homie from the Grand Canyon class. It's the big homie, Anthony Cowell. So Anthony Cowell is joining the line, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, K, where you at, baby?
What's good? What's good, everybody?
What's happening, man?
What's up, homie?
What's up, with you? Man?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Good, man. How you been?
Oh, man. I'm good, man. I'm good now, man.
For those that don't know, that's the big 6'8 in the middle. He's the big 6'8 hog. Big left hand as a cow holding it down. Got about 14 kids, ladies and gentlemen. No, I'm just playing.
We're going to start selling admission. We're going to start charging for membership.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right.
Now, let me ask you this question. You referee a lot of games. If people don't know, Anthony Cowell right now, and you know he's one of our top officials out here in the state of Arizona. He's rising now. You've watched some of these games, And people talk about these games being, you know, borderline fixed because of the officiating. And I know it's bang bang plays here and there. And I'm just asking you, as an official, do you think that some of those calls are called in by David Stern, or do you think those are legit calls out there?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I mean, honestly, I would like to say, being, you know, repping for a while, I have to say that they're legit. I mean, out there on the court, they try to make the calls that they see, you know. And so I'm going to go on the other end that they're not rigged. I mean, it looks like it sometimes, you know, looking in, outside looking in. But knowing that knowing that what refs have to do, the classes and the reps that they have to put in, you know, I'm more tuned to say that they are, you know, they're calling what they think they feel, or they perceive what they see, you know. So that's
okay.
My stand on.
Okay. Now let me ask you this, Ant. You're the general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers. You have the number one pick. Do you draft or do you trade? And if you do draft, who do you pick?
Well, my first choice would be either Dana Pope or Elvin Meeks or Chet. That's my first choice. You know, then if we can't get that, then we'll trade up and get me. You know, it's a win-win situation.
No,
don't you think quiet.
I like Noel, man. I'm not really good on all the names, but I like the other guy that Dana says too, the point guard from Indiana. I think
Victor Oladipo?
Yeah. I like his work ethic, you know. That's what I'm big on. You guys already know that. I think that's a lost cause now, you know. It's working hard.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of talented people out there, but they don't want to put in the work. And then once they get to that level, they want to stop, you know. So I think he has it all the way around because he knows how he got there. So that'd probably be my second choice.
All right.
They let the money get to their head too much.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So Joel to G, let me ask you this. If you were to trade, if you were the GM for the Cavs and you were to trade, who would you go after?
Well, we're not going to say me per se. What we're going to do is just say what the Cavs will do, you know, just because everybody falls sort of okey-doke and everybody likes to be hoodwinked and, you know, have a car rug pull from up there. So I say they're going to go for that Nellis young man, the skinny brother out of Kentucky. I think whoever gets the boy is going to go with him, that would be the one to trade because everybody thinks he's about something. He's too skinny. He's too light. He's too fragile. He's not going to do anything. But I think a lot of organizations are believing in him. So I would go for him, trade him off, and, you know, make some power moves.
Right. So you're
I think they're going to stick with him. They're going to keep him. They're going to take him, but they're going to keep him.
I think you have to, though, man.
So this is what you would do. I would draft him, but then I would trade Cody Zeller and Anderson Varejao. Why not? If you're going to go with Noel's, you might as well get rid of them guys because you're going young, right?
Right.
So if you do that, that would be another ploy, and plus they have another pick at number 19. So that helps out as well. But I got one more question for you guys before I let you off, and I'm going to give you my answer beforehand. And I want you to tell me, because there's been some great ones, you know, the best NBA class since 1993 to present. And, you know, it's been some tough ones. It's been some, you know, some good ones. You know what I mean? And I know T-Row has, you know, some numbers or whatnot, I should say, some guys. You know, you got Vince Carter, you know, Jameson, who was that in that same role? Yes,
sir.
Are you with me? Now, my favorite, I'm just going to say, you know, you can say who you think is, but, you know, a couple. Remember, 93, you had, who was that, Weber, Penny Hardaway.
Mashburn, J.R. Rodgers.
Mashburn.
Bobby Hurley.
So,
Jalen Rose.
Right.
Well,
Jalen
Rose came a couple years later.
Right.
So, yeah, Jalen Rose came in 94, am I correct?
Yeah,
he
Ray Jackson and
right,
Jimmy Johnson, they all came
out the same year. What? Yeah, but that was 94 with Jason Kidd, Grant Hill, Danielle Marshall, Juwan Howard, Jalen Rose, Eddie Jones. You know, that was a good class. That was 94. The Big Dog was the first round pick, number one pick of all. And, you know, if you look at all of the classes, it gets tough, you know, up until about 2006, I would say. And it's, you know, from then on, it's pretty much, you know, the class that we know now. But, you know, with, you know, the guys that we saw, that we actually, some of these guys that we, most of these guys that we played against are in that class from 93 to about 2003 before, you know, the class with LeBron and D-Wade and Bosh and Melo, you know. But any class before then, Stephon in 96 with A.I., Marcus Camby, Antoine Walker, Kerry Kittles, and then 97, Tim Duncan, Billups, Tony Battee, Ron Mercer.
Ron Mercer.
You know what I'm saying? 2000, Kenyon Martin and Darius Miles. And, you know, it's a lot of Jamal Crawford. You know, it's a lot of different classes that have come out, but to pick one class would be kind of tough, but in your eyes, what would be the toughest, what would be the best class to each one of you guys that you think would, you know, has been the best class so far? Jamal Crawford came in that class. What was that? 2000... Yeah, I want to say 2000. Yeah, the year 2000 with Kenyon Martin was the number one draft pick. I'm going to say I love the 1993 class with C. Webb and Penny Hardaway and those guys, but I'm going to give it up to the 2003 class with LeBron, C-Bosh, Carmelo, because these guys aren't done yet. It's going to be a lot of rings won between that 2003 class, and they're just not the only ones on that list. You know what I mean? So I'm going to give it up to the 2003 class, but, you know, 1993 is my best class that I love. That was my class.
And what year did Kobe come out?
Oh, 98. Jelly Bean Jr. Let's see. Huh? Kobe came out in 96.
And remember, right, he wasn't top 10 pick.
He was 13, though. He was still a lottery.
Right.
No doubt.
But who else came with him, though? That's what I want to say, because I mean naturally I'm going with my hometown, you know, Lake Show, so I'm gonna put him in there, but I want to know who else came with him, you know. What year?
Kobe drafted by the Sixers at first and traded to the Lakers.
Yes, he was.
No, by Charlotte. It was Charlotte for Blotty Devot.
Right.
Oh yeah, that's right.
For Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, 96 was a good class. Ray Allen, Steve Nash, Eric Dampier, Antoine Walker. That was a good class, too.
Yeah, probably 94 then. I mean, if you look at it, probably for me, 94, you know.
Yeah, that was a good class. Big Dog, Jason Kidd, Grant Hill.
Lamont
Murray. Yeah, that was a good class.
Tyson Chandler came Robert. Out then, too, right? Didn't Tyson
who
Chandler
did?
Come out in 94?
Who?
Tyson Chandler.
Oh no, he came out way later, 2000.
Yeah,
he came out in 2001 with Kwame Brown with your little brother Anthony.
That's your little cousin, T-Ray. he took all your height.
Yeah, you got game just like that, Tim.
So you say, Anthony, you say 1994 was your favorite class?
Yes, yes, sir.
Dana Pope, what year did you? Who's your favorite class, sir?
I'd say 96 with Vince Carter.
Yeah, that was
Vince
a good
Carter.
Class too. Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Joel G? Who do you say?
That was when Allen Iverson came out.
Yeah, 96.
Actually, Vince Carter came out in 1998 with Mike Bibby and Antoine Jameson, Jason Williams, White Chocolate, Dirt, Paul Pierce, and all those,
okay.
Tyronn Lue and all those guys.
Vince Carter was 98?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said that he came
chocolate.
Out at a good class. Cause, you know,
yeah,
Mike,
it was a good class.
Mike Bibby was good. Mike Bibby was good back then, too.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, remember we used to watch that guy in high school.
Yeah, Shadow Mountain.
Yeah, I used to go to shoot with him at the LA Fitness over there, Union Hills, on 7th Street.
He did start going there when he first got drafted. He started going to LA Fitness a lot in the summer, didn't he?
Yeah, we used to go loop with him, remember?
Now listen to this, guys. I want y'all to take this with you when you go back to Maricopa County in Evansville. Don't forget, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a girlfriend. At Mondays and Fridays, 9 p.m. Eastern, the streets is talking. Hey, we come find you. We go to every borough. We pull them out. It might take some days, some years, but we going to find you. We going to get you in the asylum. We had to get you on site, man. We had to get that energy back, man. We rolling.
Hello.
As usual, when we come back from commercial, Ann Hernandez, what the hell are you doing? You heard it here first. The streets is talking. Black.
But say with the writer of the Quran, or Old Testament, don't test the men. I know what y'all thinking, dick. Pause. Your future's my past. I've been here before. I know when you're scheming. I feel when you plotting. I got mental vision, intuition. I know where you're going. I read your mind's navigational system. Everybody whispering. Whispering. Up streets is talking. Niggas is gossiping. Bitches calling your shit. What's the cause of it? I need to know. You see you with a bodyguard, that means police is watching. And I only use his weight to keep my glockin'. But when shit goes down, you know who's doing the poppin'. And if you don't know, guess who's doing the droppin'. S dot again, y'all got him in a bad mood. Bad mood, that's bad news. How many times have I got to prove? How many loved ones have you got to lose? Before you realize that it's probably true. Whatever Jigga say, Jigga probably do. Shit, I paid my dues, I made the news. I came in the door for Dolo Blaze the Cruz. And the streets say Jigga can't go back home. You know when I heard that? When I was back home. I'm comfortable, dog. Brooklyn to Rome. Or any Martin Luther. Don't part with your future. Don't ever question if I got the heart to shoot ya. The answer is simply too dark for the user. And as a snot nose, they said that he got flows. But will he be able to drop those before the cops close in? But the shots froze him. And he's dead and gone from what the block has spoken. My God, everybody's stressing. Who's his baby's mom? Who he got pregnant? Let me tell you, when up the streets is talking, niggas is gossiping, bitches throwing your shit, what's the cause of it? I need to know. When up the streets is talking, niggas is gossiping, bitches throwing your shit, what's the cause of it? I need to know. First murder in the hall, if you must know. I lost my pops when I was 11, 12 years old. He's probably somewhere where the liquor's taking its toll. But I ain't mad at you, Dad. Holla at your land. I grew up pushing snowflakes at niggas that was probate. The stress would take a young nigga, give him an old face. All I did was smoke, joke, think and drink. Cop came and complained. Front row watch game. I seen niggas before me with a chance to write their own script. Slip up and change the story. I seen young niggas go out in a blaze of glory. Before reaching puberty,
the streets is talking, sports talk show with a twist of hip hop. It's your boy L Boogie, T Rose, Joels, and Z. Man, we like where you had a reunion, man. Remember, it's a sports talk show. We got a little, you know, too much, but we back. We talking NBA. And, you know, I got a you know, like I said, I'm in the streets, and, you know, I have a personal friend of mine, like a little brother to me. He was in this draft as well, but he was undrafted, notable, you know, 1998, you know, Earl Boykins. So our next guest, you know, honor and pleasure, my little brother, you know, Earl Boykins, you on the line, EB?
Yeah, I'm here, what's up?
EB, what's up with you, Pippin?
Oh, man, nothing at all in the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the man, Earl Boykins. You might have remembered when he was doing his thing down there in Denver, giving him the business. My man. How's everything down there in the land with you?
Oh, man, it's good, man. It's good. She just got done hooping down at the good, getting a little wreck here.
As always.
if they don't know it, that might be one of the best, you know, places to hoop in Cleveland, Ohio. You got to come. If you don't go to Third Good, you don't get your street credibility. I mean, that's just how it goes. You know what I mean? So, you know, so, EB, as we was talking, you were listening, you know, tell us how, you know, your first time, you know, long, you know, first time caller. How you like the show so far? Give us your intake. What you think about this draft?
Oh, man, I love it. The show is dope. I like the show a lot. I like the show a lot. When it comes to the draft, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting because I was listening to what y'all was take on the Cavs, who they should draft, what they should do. And, you know, I have a sort of different opinion on it. You know, I think the problem with the East is in 2 years, Miami won't be the same. So you have to develop a team that in 2 years that's ready to take over the East. And I would go with the big man from Maryland just because you need a big man that's physical in order to match up with Indiana and the Bulls.
Right.
If you can't match up with Indiana and the Bulls in the future, you don't have a chance. And just their physical presence alone, that's what I would do. Because they have four picks, so they could get a backup point guard later on in the draft. You can get a scorer later on in the draft. But the big man, Alex, doesn't have to be great. He just needs to be solid for 10 years. Roy Hibbert, when he came into the league, he wasn't great. Because there is no great player in this draft. That's the biggest problem with this draft. There is no one guy that you say, okay, he's going to be an all-star for 10 years or whatever. It's just that player just doesn't exist. So what you need to do is get a big man or any player that in 10 years you can say, okay, he's had a solid career. He's been here with this organization for 10 years. And I just think, you know, the big man from Maryland, he's the way to go.
Alex Lynn.
With the first
pick. Alex Lynn.
Yeah, Alex Lynn with the first pick.
Wow,
he's not a number one pick. But, hey,
and that makes sense.
I just think in terms
that
of
you say that because, you know, that's all that everybody's been talking about for Cleveland is that they need help down low. Vergeau can hustle and get all the rebounds by itself, and that's pretty much how he got hurt last year with trying to do too much by himself. And if you get a solid big man who could be there, like you say, for at least 8 to 10 years, you know, that would help Cleveland work against Chicago and also Indiana. Now, let me ask you this. Who do you think will be the team to upset Miami in the next couple of years? Will it be Chicago or will it be Indiana?
I think the Bulls. I think when Derrick Rose comes back, if he's healthy, he's going to be a problem. He's going to be a problem when he comes back. He's going to be a real problem because he's so athletic that you have to put a bigger guy on him just because of his athletic ability alone. And when you put a bigger guy on him, that leaves a mismatch somewhere else on the court.
Right.
And I think, you know, if Luol Deng comes back, he's healthy. Kurt Heinrich, he comes back. They're okay. When I looked at the Bulls this year when they played Miami, the problem was they just didn't have enough healthy bodies.
Right.
That's
how
the Bulls
were able.
Yeah, they just didn't have enough healthy bodies. I just don't think Indiana point guard play is good enough to beat Miami. If you look at any team to get Miami's problems, you have to have a point guard. Your point
now,
guard
let me ask you
has
this.
To be an all-star, all-star type level. Yeah,
EB, I got to ask you this. Why didn't your agent call Indiana? Because they could have used you better than Augustine at the point guard spot. I have to ask
you
that.
You know the streets talking. My agent did reach out to Indiana. They decided that they were okay with what they had.
The streets is talking.
That's just how it went. They decided they were okay.
Wow, there you have it.
They decided they were okay.
Let me ask you one more question before we let you go. So if you pick Alex Lynn, do you trade Kobe Zeller and Edison Varejo to maybe get something on the perimeter too? Or do you just keep all those bodies and just develop?
Well, I don't trade any big because Varejo, he's injury prone. So if you draft a big,
right.
If Varejo gets hurt, you're in the same spot you were. Especially in the East, the way the Bulls and Indiana stacked up, you could never have too many bigs.
Right.
Never. And, you know, the way the East is, the Cavs score enough points. But the problem is, everybody talk about Mike Brown's a defensive coach. There is no such thing as a defensive coach in the NBA. Every coach preaches defense. But the problem is, how many coaches have a center that can defend the basket?
That's the key.
That's the problem. If you have a center that can protect the paint, you're a defensive coach. If you don't have that man on the inside, the coach is the same. He just don't have the guy that can protect the basket.
No.
It's just that simple. So if Mike Brown, you know, when he went to the Lakers, now what? He can't coach defense anymore? No, he can still coach.
Right.
You need a center to protect the basket in order to have a top defense.
Right. What do you think about George Karl leaving Denver? You know, you've played under him for some years. You know, I've been there, and you know,
yeah.
How do you think that? And with the new hire, Brian Shaw.
I like the hire of Brian Shaw because I felt Brian Shaw should have got a chance to become a head coach a couple of years ago. As far as George Karl. You know, you always hear the knock is you lose, he's lost eight out of the 9 years he's been to the playoff, he lost in the first round. But the truth is, this is the first year they've ever been seeded in the top four. When you go into a playoff series and you're the underdog, you're supposed to lose.
Exactly.
You're supposed to lose. This was the first year that they went to the playoff as a higher seed and lost.
Exactly.
And so, you know, from my standpoint,
he's
probably the best coach I've had since I was in the NBA playing. He's the best coach I've had.
Streets is talking. George Karl, big ups. That's what I'm talking about.
Man, we appreciate you, EB. And the question of the night, and try not to be biased, but what do you think? What's the best draft class since 1993 to the present?
Don't be biased, EB. Don't say your class. No. Everybody know my class. 98 draft, EB for itself. 98 draft, EB for itself. You don't even have to speak on the 98 draft. You just name the players and everybody like, oh, yeah. So the draft, that was it. It sort of speak for itself. So if I wasn't to draft that, I would have to say, I've played with what I think are four A-plus players. I played against four guys that I would say the greatest players I've ever played against. One is Jason Kidd.
Okay.
The second, LeBron James. Third,
right.
Shaquille O'Neal. Fourth is Tim Duncan. Those are four best players I've ever played against. And the reason is this. When you have one of those four on your team, they're able to elevate everybody else's game around them. and that's rare. There's a lot of guys that can score in this league, but how many guys can take an average player, make them good? How many guys can take a good player, make them an all-star?
Right.
You see what Tim Duncan did with Danny Green?
Yes,
and Kawhi Leonard. The same guy that was in Cleveland.
Right.
And so from that standpoint, I would have to give Tim Duncan, I got to give him his props. I've always said he's one of the four guys, if you put him on your team, you got a chance to win the championship. I don't care who else is on your team. If you have Tim Duncan on your team, you got a chance to win because your defense improves, he's going to protect the paint, and at the offensive end, he's going to get other people involved, and your perimeter shooters will be able to score.
That's what's up, man.
Man.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Earl Boykins, ladies and gentlemen. Man, we appreciate you calling in, man. You're the second celebrity that been called in to the show, man. We appreciate the love.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on the show, man. Good luck on the show. I like the show a lot.
And listen, no doubt. Yeah. And remember, he's not a celebrity, T-Roll. He's in the streets, man.
My bad.
Muddy Waters with us. He's in the asylum. He's just, you know, one of those guys. You know, when you get in the asylum, you're one of us, man. You're not a celebrity anymore, man. You know what I mean? So, you know our motto, EB, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a girlfriend. You know what I mean?
All right, it's on,
so,
man.
No doubt. Mondays and Fridays, 9 p.m. Eastern. Earl Boykins, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, man. Everybody take care.
Much love.
No doubt.
Yeah, L Boogie, man. Hey, we got two more callers that we need to pull in for the next commercial. We actually going to take it out to the MIA where our caller, you know, is a much-loved Miami Heat fan. And I think, you know, last time we talked to this fella, man, he was pretty hyped about his team winning the championship even though that they were down. MIA, you on the line?
Man, y'all know what it is. LeBron James, man, president. Y'all know.
Well, let me ask you this.
That's the best draft class. That's the best draft class. I've been listening. That's the best draft class. But whoever coming out of this draft class, they ain't coming to the Heat, so I don't give a fuck. And that's where I'm at with it.
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. You guys go three-peat?
Goddamn right. Why not? Who gonna beat us, bro? I don't care if the Bulls get Shaq, the White House. But nobody's going to beat us in the month of the East, man. Y'all tripping, man. Why can't we win? Why can't we win like the Bulls? Why can't we win 3, 4, 5 straight? You know what I'm saying? Why y'all hating on our demise? You know what I'm saying? God, we got room for y'all down there. Shit, don't trip.
We not hating. Hey, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, MIA. Were you able to make it to the parade this afternoon?
Parade? Now, come on, man. You know me. A parade? No, nigga. A parade? Nigga. Let me check when them niggas slipping. Okay.
The streets is talking.
Yeah, my bad, man. Nah, I ain't going to no parade, man.
Nah, I ain't do nothing like that, man. I ain't do nothing like that, man.
Hey, that's what's up, bro. I had Earl Boykins on, man. That's what's up, man. That little nigga used to get out, man. You know what I'm saying? I locked it at right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
oh,
what's
yeah.
up, man.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, no doubt. We We should know that by now. This is Streets is Talking. It's named that for a reason. You feel me?
Already, man.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
We going back to the dance, man. You know, I'm kind of happy we did get one. You know what I'm saying? And, I believe
we got 3 good more years, man. The Heat ain't gonna break up, bro. He can't break up, man. This is dynasty,
right.
baby. This is dynasty,
now,
I got
a serious question for you, Miami. Now I know that you probably got tied to that boy Aaron Hernandez because you know he's from the University of Florida, now in New England. Can you give it a scoop on your boy Aaron Hernandez? What's going on?
Man, that man a Mexican, man. You already know. They get some out of there, baby.
Stop you. Hey, you feel me? Like they get some out of there. But I don't know what's wrong with Buddy, though. You know, I'm going to be honest with you, though. If I had that type of money, bro, I wouldn't even be into that. You feel me? Real talk, man. That's a blessing, brother, to
to receive, you know what I'm saying, the gift that you can go play athletic, you know what I'm saying, professional sports, bro. So I wouldn't even be around that type of nonsense, man. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, as a street nigga, when a nigga cross the line, you already know what you got to do.
Right.
So right. He ain't know how to, he ain't know how to disclose that shit, bro. All that bread you got, bro, you could have paid somebody to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. We're going to talk, man. Yeah,
right.
Like, what's going on with these boys, man? Money, it ain't, man. Niggas don't value what's really going on out here, man. For real,
yeah.
For real.
I see you guys. Hey, man.
Hey, Miami. I got one question that I pondered for you because, like you said, you're a Miami Heat fan, and we going through all this, but. You said three in a row. Do you think Dwayne Wade can compete at that same level for three more years?
We don't need him to. We just need him to play his position. He don't know where he want to be at. You know what I'm saying? Like he took a back seat to LeBron, dog. Like my man say, LeBron, he a leader, bro. When he out there on that court, Dwayne Wade, bro, he just needs to hold his position, dog. That's all we need to do. I'm trying to tell you, dog. We're going to mess around and get one of these niggas that want to come down there. That's how we're going to keep picking up players that want to wear championships. That's all we want to do. We don't want to wait. Lot. We just need a nigga to stop getting hurt. You feel me? Fix your knee caps, bro. Stop wearing them. Hey, it's because you wearing them tight-ass pants, nigga. That's why that nigga. Hey. That nigga tripping, man. Him and Wiz Khalifa be hanging out, man. You feel me?
Right. Man, there you have it.
Miami, you know we appreciate the love, baby. And you know what? Next time you call in, man, we're going to talk about them Miami Dolphins. So I hope you got some information for me about them Dolphins because it looks like it's Miami's turn to take over that AFC. You feel me?
Ain't nothing looking good down there but our logo. Ain't nothing look good down there but our logo, brother. Hey, you feel me?
We'll talk to you on Friday, Miami.
Already.
Already. Much love. What do you say, El Boogie? Don't nothing look good in Miami but the logo?
Woo! I haven't heard that one in a long time. That was called The Streets is Talking. 347. 855-8896, blogtalkradio.com. And remember, when you go to the website, just go to the little area where it says search and put in Streets is Talking with a zero. It'll pop up, and then you'll have the shows. If you missed it or if you want to listen to it live, man, we're so hot. We're getting stories from everywhere.
Hold on, we got another story coming in, man. You know, we kind of had a reunion at the beginning of the show, and, man, one of the homies that was part of the clique, dog, just so happened to call just after everybody is gone, but we're going to bring El Boogie. Now, check this out. He was the other point guard to the three-headed beast that we had down there at Grand Canyon. It's the doctor, Dr. Chester Hayes. What's up,
kidding
me?
Hey, what up,
El
Boogie? What up?
What's
oh,
up?
Man.
So what's
going on? We
got the doctor on the line.
Dr. Chester Hayes, ladies and gentlemen, to the world.
Hey, what's going on, folks?
How you been doing?
Oh, man, you know, just putting one foot in front of another, man. You know, trying to make it happen.
Oh, man.
That sounds like the doctor, don't it? Chad Hayes, hey,
and
you followed the... Did you have a chance to follow the NBA Finals and the Miami Heat winning this series?
Oh, man, I was glued tight, man. That was a good series, man.
Did David Stern have his hand in the back pocket, or was it just that Miami pulled it out in seven games?
Well, you know, I think David Stern didn't – I don't think he had anything to do with it. I think LeBron just came on and did what he was supposed to do, man. I mean, Timmy put up a good fight, but, you know, after he missed that little bunny, man, it was all over, man.
Yeah. Now you're a coach, and you know you coach the youth, and you always say you got to put a body on somebody. Now, did Coach Popovich get out coached by Eric Spoelstra in game six, or did just Pop just lose his mind leaving Tim Duncan on the pine?
Oh, man, he lost his mind. I mean, first of all, he leaves Tim Duncan on the bench, and then the second game he leaves Tony Parker out with the last possession of the game. I mean, I don't know what he was thinking, man.
I think he was overcoaching, Coach.
Yeah, he might outcoach himself, man.
Yeah, I think he might have. So, Coach, let me ask you this one question. Now, you're a guard. You know, so you got guards out there, Victor Oladipo, Michael Carter-Williams, the guy from Lehigh, C.J. McCollum, Trey Burke. Who do you think is going to pan out of those guys? You know, Isaiah Cannon from Murray State. What do you think? You're a guard. Who do you think is going to have a nice career out of those guys?
You know, I like Trey Burke just because of his IQ and the competition that he played against. But you know who was getting buckets, man? I think it's going to be a kind of a Khalid Reeves kind of guard. It's going to be that kid Cannon, man. That kid can just flat out shoot it. He can defend.
Isaiah Cannon.
He's
yes,
big.
Sir. My respect,
you know,
ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, he can just get numbers, man.
Man, what do you think about this sleeper kid from Lehigh, C.J. McCollum? He's 6'3", 197. He's rated as the third best PG on the board. Do you think he's going to be, you know, solid and he's going to make a name for himself?
I mean, I think he's going to make a roster, man, but I just don't see, you know, playing PG in the league is different. I mean, you go up against a stud every night that can get 20 and hold you to four, you know. So,
right.
I mean, that's a tough position to go out coming from Lehigh and just do well in, man. That's going to take some time. I mean, you got to go to a good team where you got somebody like LeBron or somebody like Tim that can hide you on a daily basis for the first, you know, 4 or 5 years of your career. Otherwise, you're gonna get chewed up and you're gonna be in the D League somewhere, man.
But on the contrary, though, Doctor, I have to say this. What about the kid from Portland? We thought that Weber State, you know, was a low class conference. He came in and got Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, that's true. Also, that's up in Portland, too. You know, up in Portland, you're going to get
right.
a chance to make a few mistakes. You get a chance to make a few mistakes up in Portland because there ain't much
right.
else up there. You know, but, I mean,
right.
I'm sure he did his job, no doubt about that. But, I mean,
right.
if he's going to go somewhere decent, I mean, he's not going to get the time to develop like that. He's going to need some time
right.
and definitely some help.
Okay, I got you. If you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're the general manager, what do you
think? L Boogie, hold on, man. You can't be talking on mute, pimp. Get off mute, man. Get back
can
on.
Can you hear me now?
Loud and clear, man.
If you're the general manager, Dr. Hayes, if you're the general manager, what do you do? Who do you take as the number one pick, or do you trade that number one pick?
Man, Cleveland need a lot more than one pick, though, man.
But they got four.
You know,
don't worry about it.
Yeah, I know you're talking with your heart, L, but come on, man. You know they need a little bit more than one pick.
You know I'm a New York Knicks fan. You know I'm from Cleveland, but I was back there with Roy Sparrow and Bernard King and those guys. So, you know. I wasn't a Mike Mitchell fan. You know, I go way back with the Cavs, World Be Free. But, hey, you know, if it could bring the city some more money, because, you know, if we're in Phoenix, we hope that the Phoenix Suns make it to the finals. We remember 93, don't we?
Oh,
like
yeah.
The city was buzzing.
I remember 93.
So I posed the question the other night, before we let you go, from 1993 to the present, who is your best NBA draft class?
Oh, man. You said 93 to the present?
Yeah.
93 to the present.
20 years worth of NBA hooping.
Wow. Man.
There's been a lot of them, Chad. Let me tell you.
That's a tough question, man. It's almost somebody in every class has panned out to be a star. God.
Yeah.
Right, but how many stars in one year, though? I mean, in one class?
You know, in 1997, there was Tim Duncan, Chauncey Billups, Ron Mercer, Tim Thomas. In 98, it was Mike Bibby, you know, Vince Carter, Antoine Jameson. In 93, it was C. Webb, Penny Hardaway, J.R. Ryder, Calvert Chaney.
I was going to say 93. I'm trying to think of who was in 94, though. Because 94 seems to ring a bell.
Oh, yeah. The big dog, Glenn Robinson, Jason Kidd, Grant Hill, Danielle Marshall,
like
Juwan Howard, Jalen Rose.
Yeah, I like 94, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that year, too.
That was a big year. Hey, Doc, tell us about your son. Where's your son playing his sports at, and what school he go to? Where can we locate him?
Oh, man, he's a Jayhawk, man. He's in Kansas.
Okay.
He's playing baseball.
That's what's up. Man, Marcus Wheeler, ladies and gentlemen. Shout out to Marcus Will out there in Kansas playing baseball, man. Hope he can get it in. Did you ever teach your son how to play dominoes before he left, Chet?
Man, we were just talking about that this past weekend, man. My friend, dominoes, man.
Well, when he gets back to the crib, make sure we're going to hook up together, man. We're going to make this all work. Dana Pope talked about he might be out here next month. So we're going to get it all together, man, and make a reunion out of it all, man, and, you know, get together and have fun and kick back. You know what I mean?
Hey, that sounds like a plan, man.
That sounds like a plan. Now you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
And, Chet, don't forget, tell a friend and tell a friend. In your case, tell a doctor girlfriend. Mondays and Fridays, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, L Boogie. That's what I'm talking about, L Boogie. You're talking about a hell of a show.
Man, it was hot in the fire. If they missed it, they better go back to the archives. Man, when we come back from commercial, we're going to give our last words. Man, the streets is talking, sports talk show with a twist of hip hop. As you see, we always in the community and we always popping. Man, if you ain't got the street cred up, you can't roll. Let's go. Black.
Niggas trying to get at me. High ride for my niggas. Damn, life so short. Fuck, I don't want to go to court. Fuck, got a budget for the lawyer though. Fuck, I'm on the run for the month. Woo. I'm in the fuck, paid $200 for it. My little nigga stuck and even got me paranoid. I'm getting money, that's in any nigga category. Double M, I got G's out in California. I ride for my nigga, dog. I ride for my nigga. I slide for my nigga, dog. I ride for my nigga.
It bothers me when the guards get to acting like the broads. Guess everything doesn't come complete with niggas like ours. That's why I see no need to compete with niggas like y'all. I just ask that when you see me, you speak up, nigga, that's all. Don't be ducking like you never wanted nothing. It's feeling like rap changed. It wasn't time, it was rugged. Back when if a nigga reached, it was for the weapon. Nowadays, niggas reach just to study records. Spaghetti bolognese in the Polo Lounge. Me and my G from D.C., that's how I roll around. Might look like, but we heavy though. You think Drake would pull some shit like that, you never know. $1 million meetings in the Polo Lounge. Me and my man Oliver North, that's how I roll around. Shorty wanna tell me secrets about a rap nigga. I tell that bitch it's more attractive when you hold it down. Kobe about to lose 150 M's. Kobe my nigga, I hate it, had to be him. Bitch, you wasn't with me shooting in the gym.
Bitch, you wasn't with me shooting in the gym.
Tell Lucien, I said, fuck it, I'm tearing holes in my budget. Bag of life, we in public, so take her ass out in public. Ordered it up for late, told her butterflies, she'll love it. She used to soda and nuggets, she really just tired thugging. I'm just hitting my pinnacle, you a pussy identical. You like the fucking finish line, we can't wait to run into you. But let me get my mind off that young rich motherfucker getting mine off rap with my niggas.
I ride for my niggas, dawg. I ride for my niggas. I slide for my niggas, dawg. I ride for my niggas.
Thank you, man. Niggas trying to get at me.
Get at me. They better say we stay scheming, man. I'm a ride for all my guys. I'm riding for all my guys. The streets is talking, sports talk show with a twist in hip hop. Man, UL the G, T-Row, I'm your host, L Boogie. We were just previewing the draft, doing a mock draft, what teams need. We had a couple callers, and some of our callers, the word got out about the show through, you know, internet and the social media. You know, the show got out. And, you know, some old friends, they didn't call the asylum, they didn't get in. So, you know, that was great. And like I said, you know, first-time callers and, you know, I have my man, you know, Earl Boykins call in. So, you know, next on the marquee, got another call, like I said, one of my, you know, he has his show. You know, he's the co-host. The Sports Officials comes on Sundays. You know, at 1 p.m. Eastern, OG Scorekeeper, a.k.a. Broadway International, Gomez. What the deal, baby? How you doing out there at ATL?
ATL, the streets is talking, baby. You know what it is, man. It's for the fishes, man. I know Sonny's at 1, Purdue, you know, the producer, OG Scorekeeper. So check us out. What's up, T-Row? You know what I'm saying? What's up, UL the G? You know what I'm saying? L Boogie, you know what I'm saying? What's up with it?
How you feel this evening?
Man, I feel good. I want to give a shout out to you guys, man. I've missed you guys a few times, man. I've been in the hole, you know what I'm saying? I had to grind it on out. Come on, right. You know what I'm saying?
It was getting dark.
And, you know, man, it was getting dark, man. I had to come on out, man. I meant to tell you guys happy Father's Day and all that, man. So it's back on. Like Maggie Stone, man. We back rolling.
Man. Before we start hitting you with the questions and things, man, L Boogie and I want to say, man, we want to be a part somehow of the event that you guys had last week. You know, when good things are jumping off, man, the streets is talking, I always want to be a part of some good things, especially with you brothers, the Sports Officials, you know what I mean? So next year, man, please get your boys on, keep your boys looking out on the golf game, man, because we out here with the pretty greens in Arizona, Pepe. So, you know, we got our stroke ready, you know, so
We rolling, though. You already know. We are one family, you know what I'm saying? So we already rolling, you know, just like I was telling Al Almighty when he called, and you know what I'm saying? And like, we all one family, man. So once we all get this together, man, it's going to be like one studio with all of us in it, you know what I'm saying? We just going to be all one big family, you know what I'm saying? So we keeping it moving. Shout out to Al Almighty, you know what I'm saying? Earl Boykins, EB, I heard you, man. Get at me, man. Gomez, man. Come on, get at me. You know what I'm saying? The Sports Officials, Sonny, they want EP. You know what it is?
I'm going to throw him a kite and tell him to call the show.
Throw him a kite, man. Tell him, come on with it, man. Tell him how the commissary, is looking shabby, man.
No question.
No,
I'm just trying to get that.
Right on, man. But I want to give a, you know, just like y'all listen to the class, man, I give a, That 93 class, I might have to go with that 93, man. And even that, I like that class with Iverson and Kobe and them too, man. That was a nice class.
Yeah.
Garnett, I think, was in that class too. You know what I'm saying? That was
a nice class also.
You know,
that was the 1996 class. Yeah,
then LeBron's class was a nice class. You know what I'm saying? That was all right class. Then Carmelo away them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was a nice class. What we gonna do with that first pick, man? I think we just gotta I think we got to go with the best player available. You know what I'm saying? What you guys think on that? What you think, L Boogie?
And who would be the best player in this draft class?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Earl had said that he's projecting 2 years down the line because you got to beef up and get ready for Indiana and Chicago. He said to Alex Lynn, kid from Maryland. But on the contrary, I'm going with either Anthony Bennett, the kid from UNLV who can play three or four, or I'm going with Michael Carter Williams because he's 6'5", 6'6", can play the – you can go, you know – Kyrie, Waiters, and him at the three. You know what I mean? So
what about Macklemore? You don't like Macklemore?
I like Ben. Don't get it twisted. But I don't think he can do a lot of things.
I like the guy from Maryland, but the only thing you got to run, you know, you got to go at and worry about some big cats like is them. He already had them little feet injury, you know what I'm saying? He got, like, the kind of same injury that Big Z had, you know what I'm saying? It's like you got to kind of wait out the end of options and Noel. Yeah, and then Noel, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to mess with no seven-footers that's already got feet and knee issues. That's kind of hard, you know what I'm saying, from my understanding and my perspective, you know? But like I said, you got to – if you can't get no – nothing nice on the free agency, you know, on the trade side, man. You got to go with the best player available, you know what I'm saying? So then leave that up to whatever choice they make that's the best player available. That'd be cool with me. I like those guys you guys said. I like Michael Carter Williams because he's versatile. He can play a few positions, like you say. You can put all three of those guys in at the same time. Or not only that, you can take three out and he can run the point, you know what I'm saying? Waiters has shown some signs sometimes. Waiters shows little signs of running the point sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Because Kyrie, he's going to need somebody to relieve him sometimes because, he, like you said, he's a bag of bones, man. He gets hurt a lot, you know? So you got to go, you got to go with the best player available, man, I think, man. That's what I think, man, the best player available. Keep it moving. Let's put all them guys on the court at the same time and do like Mark Jackson is doing out there in Golden State, man. You know what I'm saying? Teach them guys how to play defense because Mike Brown, he's a defensive-minded coach anyway, and put them guys out there together. Let's roll.
Let me ask you this, original scorekeeper. What do you think about the Denver Nuggets hiring Brian Shaw earlier today?
Oh, I think that was a good hire for them. You know, they jumped on him. They jumped on him real quick. You know what I'm saying? Like, they jumped on him, you know what I'm saying, before anybody else could. They gave him a shot, man. Brian Shaw, he deserved a shot. You know what I'm saying? He deserved a shot. You know, and it seemed like, you know, people been saying his name and people been interviewing him and just things of that sort. I just, like, Denver jumped on him, man, and snatched him up, man. And I'm happy for Brian Shaw, you know what I'm saying, whereas he didn't have to go through all these, you know, interviews and things of that sort and end up not getting a job. You know what I'm saying? He didn't wait at all. He went on and got snatched up. So I'm happy for Brian Shaw. I think that was a good hire for him. I think they're not going to miss a beat. As a matter of fact, I think they're going to be a little better, you know what I'm saying, with Brian Shaw because he's going to be able to relate to them young guys a little bit more. You know what I'm saying?
Right. The Clippers got Doc Rivers finalized, got his contract restructured. What will Doc bring to the Clippers?
Doc is his track record is speaks for itself. But I just couldn't understand, like, you know, like you say, we had talked about, you know, we had to be reminded that had happened before. I think Al Almighty reminded us that we had to be reminded that has happened before where a coach has been traded. You know what I'm saying? Yes, you know what I'm saying? Gruden, I mean, or whatever. I think it was one of those coaches or whatever. We had to be reminded of that, you know what I'm saying? And even in football, I think Gruden got traded for picks too, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
right.
We have to be reminded of that, you know, and then it, because other than that, you know, what was the Clippers going to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Donald Sterling, man, you know how that cat is, man. That cat don't want to hire nobody, you know what I'm saying? So if they failed on Doc Rivers, and not only that, after they had put it out there like that, not only, like, what was the Clippers going to do, how was he going to go back to Boston? You know what I'm saying? How was he going to be able to go back to Boston? So it's kind of like a catch-22. They ain't had no choice but to go on and grab him. You know what I'm saying? After they had put it out there like that. So I'm kind of happy for the Clippers to make a solid move like that, because that shows that they're really trying to, you know what I'm saying, make a run towards the championship. They got a championship pedigree coach, you know what I'm saying? They keep it moving. Maybe Chris Paul will stay out there, you know what I'm saying? So who knows? And maybe those guys, they won't underachieve, you know, like we think they have the last few years, you know what I'm saying? Not saying that they should have went to the championship, but come on, man. Come on, man. You have two points in the fourth quarter, Chris Paul. Come on, man. Keep it moving.
Right. Exactly.
For real.
The same thing with Blake Griffin. Maybe you can motivate him to get better. Maybe he can motivate them other guys, you know what I'm saying, to step up. Like you said, like Shaq, when he didn't have Phil Jackson, he really didn't respect that coach. But when Phil came along, he upped his play, and that helped him to get to a championship level.
Right. So maybe that's what the Clippers need. As a matter of fact, we know that's what they need, you know what I'm saying? So it's just they try to step up. We know Doc Rivers. We know what he's going to demand when he comes in that locker room and everything. So it's just time for them cats to step up, man. It's time for the whole league to step up, really, though. You know what I'm saying? All them cats need to step up. Shouldn't be no sorry teams, man. All them cats getting paid money, man. It shouldn't be no sorry teams, man. Keep it moving.
Right. Like the NFL. Now, let me ask you this, girl. Before we let you go, if you're international Broadway, now, you have to tell me, what do you think about this kid from our home state, Adrian, a problem Broner?
Say that again now.
What do you think about Adrian, a problem Broner? What do you think about his? What do you think about that kid, man? The boxer kid.
Oh man, he's what you mean? Like, what can you say? He's from where we from. I mean, it's like it ain't too much you can say about that. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's that whole mentality that we have, man. You know what I'm saying? And some of us hold on to it, you know what I'm saying, and take it with us throughout our whole lives, and some of us able to maintain it and polish it up, you know what I'm saying, and know how to deal with it in certain situations. So it's just a whole product of where we from, man. You know how we roll?
That's what it is. We ain't right about nothing. We ain't right about nothing.
I'm saying, you already know how we roll, though. You see what I'm saying? That's how it is.
No,
some cats lose. Some cats, you know what I'm saying, grow out of it, and you know what I'm saying, some cats, you know what I'm saying, you can't never step on their shoes, you know what I'm saying? For real.
That's what it is. So original Sports Keeper, man, you know, we appreciate the love, man. We appreciate you checking in with us, man. Hopefully we'll be able to talk to you on Friday. It's time for us to get up out of here and give our last shouts out, man. And so, man, you know, we appreciate the love, and hopefully we'll hear from you on Friday. You dig?
Oh, man, much love, man. Street is talking, man. Having no youth, man. Be good, man. Sports Officials, Sunday's at 1. Check us out.
Yes, sir. That is the Sports Officials, ladies and gentlemen, the original Sports Keeper. Hell, Boogie, before we get out of here, man, we all got about a minute and a half left, man. Want to give a shout-out to my little brother, man, Skeeter Mo Jenkins Johnson III. Want to give a shout-out to my nephew, Darius, you know. Heard about his little incident today, man. Much love to my nephew. Hope everything gets cool real quick. Once again, much love to Merce and all the people who called in. Had like a little reunion today, a Grand Canyon reunion. So it felt good to talk to my people. And hopefully they'll be checking in with us. Tell a girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, much love to you, JewelsG. Much love to you, L Boogie. You know, we getting it in on Friday. Friday will be Freestyle Friday. And that's how we going to get it in. You feel me? Oh, man, no question. The Streets is Talking Sports Talk Show with a Twist of Hip Hop. Mondays and Fridays, 9 p.m. Eastern. If you didn't know, man, it's like E.F. Hutton. Everybody listening. Man, tune in Friday. We're going to have a recap of the draft. It's Thursday. Man, we're also going to go to another part. We're going to talk about parents and coaches and referees in sport on a younger level, on a youth level. So a lot of things are going on. So that has to do with sports, too, and we always in the streets. Let's go. Uh-huh.
You the ingredients to my blessing. Murdered the streets out, murdered the beach house. Jumped in convertible jeeps to peace out. You open, all gold bins, gold ropes and gazelles with no lens. You know that bad boy gang, cold as cocaine, smooth like Coltrane, groovy like Soul Train. I'm kicking the door, waving the 4-4. If I ever hear you say that you don't love me, come on, young. Let's ride, house guys, come on. Oh yeah, you know we back, baby. Oh,
B.I.G. Clown with your main squeeze. Watch her face freeze. Watch her by the 100, baby, they don't make these. Versace robe, Medusa, the lion head. True pimpin', no blue ribbon, just kind red. And you can tell by the swag, baby. Shorty gon' bust it open for a bag, baby. Jump in the whip, dippin' from the haters. Hey, damn, why they wanna stick me for my paper? Lil' mama scooped me in the big body. Blew her back out, now she tellin' everybody.
Ain't nothing like a bad boy remix.
Lady, that's cool.
Thank you.